kind of a little bit different twist this morning, because something came out in the paper this morning that some of us have been working on all week. So let's go to the first slide, Jay, please. Well, let's read this instead. Who wants to read this? Now you've done it, Ollie. There you go.
Luke 4, 1 through 13. Jesus returned from the Jordan River full of the Holy Spirit and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. There he was tempted for 40 days by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and afterward Jesus was starving. The devil said to him, "Since you are God's son, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus replied, "It's written, people won't live only by bread." Next, the devil led him to a high place and showed him in a single instant all the kingdoms of the world. The devil said, "I will give you this whole domain and the glory of all these kingdoms. It's been entrusted to me, and I can give it to anyone I want. Therefore, if you will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It's written, you will worship the Lord your God and serve only him." The devil brought him into Jerusalem and stood him at the highest point of the temple. He said to him, "Since you are God's son, throw yourself down from here. For it's written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and they will take you up in their hands so that you won't hit your foot on a stone." Jesus answered, "It's been said, don't test the Lord your God." After finishing every temptation, the devil departed from him until the next opportunity.
Thank you, Sarah. Yeah. Just hang on to that mic. You might need it.
Sure.
So we're going to talk about the desert for just a minute. And then we're going to talk about something that showed up in the newspaper this morning, for those of you that haven't seen the article yet in the Trib. And your names are on it, by the way. So let's have the next slide. There we go. All right. Now, Jesus had been baptized by John the Baptist at the River Jordan. And the Jordan River is a lush area. It's not quite like the Colorado or the Willamette River, the Columbia that I grew up with, that sort of thing. But still, lots of trees, water came from there to irrigate crops, all kinds of stuff. So the Jordan was really a very nice place to be, hence a lot of civilization around it. Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. The dove descended upon him, representing that was his commissioning to go into ministry. It was the fulfillment of the Holy Spirit descending upon him, and then he went off to the wilderness to be tested. So Jordan River area, that looks really nice. That's a good place to hang out, raise kids, grow up, go fishing, all sorts of things. That is some very nice area. But then when he goes to the wilderness, that's not where he's at. That's where he's at. He's in a very horrible place. I've spent a whole bunch of months in the desert. It was called Afghanistan. And it was a lot like that. But it was also 125 degrees. Okay, so it was hot. And where I was at, as a side note, where I was at, the Canadians built an ice rink because they wanted hockey in the summertime. It did not matter to them where they were at or how hot it was. They're a little kooky, but boy, they were fun. But that's a side note. So you can take the desert and make something out of it. But here's the thing. Jesus went there for 40 days, and he didn't eat any food. Now, it doesn't say he didn't have water. Now, Moses, for instance, when he went up on Mount Sinai to be with God, he didn't have food or drink or sleep for 40 days. But he also had the Spirit of God within him to keep him moving that whole time. You know, so he never knew whether he was hungry, thirsty. He wasn't bothered by it. But Jesus here, he was definitely hungry. This was where the flesh is put to death. Because do we have problems with our own flesh? Yes. Yes, we do. For those of you that have fasted, when you finally said, okay, I'm going to fast today, how long did you last fasting before you said, I really need something to eat?
2 meals.
About 3 minutes. Yeah. As soon as you say, okay, I'm going to fast, you're going, God won't notice that Oreo cookie that I'm pulling out of the package. You know, it's that sort of thing. Jesus didn't have that. He went 40 days without food. Now, we know of these three temptations the devil gave him. We don't know what the other ones were or how many more there were. But there's an interesting sentence that's put in there that the devil departed until he could have the next opportunity. Now, that next opportunity could have been where he's again tempting Jesus in the wilderness, or once Jesus starts his ministry where he's back in the population, you know, Galilee, Nazareth, Bethlehem, the surrounding communities. More often than not, he'd be with a group of people, and except for the ones that loved him, and he's healing them, casting out demons, and that sort of thing, what's the leadership trying to do all the time? They want to kill him. They want to throw him off cliffs, or they want to stone him, things like that. So those are those other opportunities that the devil was using. He was quite desperate to get rid of Jesus. He was quite desperate to defeat the plan, of what God had for Jesus and for the world. Because the devil knew what was going on. He's not stupid. He knew the plan. And he was trying to stop it, even though he knew he was going to lose. He was trying to stop it. So Jesus is out there in the desert. Let's bring this to home. Have you been in your own desert? That's really where we're at this morning. Are you in your own desert? Have you been like the desert from, I think it's chapter 37, but it's the one about the bones that Ezekiel has in the vision. The bones. It's the nation of Israel that's very, very dead. And God starts showing him, bringing it back together, bringing life back together. Have we as a church, have we had our own desert? Have we been through our own desert? Yes, we have. A number of times. Have you had your own desert? Yes, you have. And part of that desert is what brings you to Christ. It's what brings you to Jesus. And so here's one of those opportunities where you can share with folks, yes, I've been in the desert too. I've been without God. Or I've had to face God on my own, because there's always that part of your walk. You've got to face God on your own. You're out here in the wilderness where it's dry, it's hot, and it's just really gloomy and depressing. And you go, I found God, so can you. Now, if you haven't already seen the article in today's Trib, Salt Lake Trib, go to the editorial page. And there's a letter of the week that's in here. And we sent this to the editorial board on Tuesday or Wednesday morning. And it says on here, Utah's United Methodists will not turn back now. And down here is some crazy guy by the name of Pastor Dave Sauer, Aldersgate United Methodist Church, Brigham City. Congregation, beware. You may or may not have folks talking to you about this article. Because what it is, it says, at a recent general conference of the United Methodist Church, the debate over the issues of labeling homosexuality as incompatible with Christian teaching, ordaining homosexual clergy, and performing same-sex marriages reached a breaking point. It's quite the article. It was written by Dennis Shaw, pastor from Hilltop, and by Elizabeth McVickers, the pastor down at First UMC Salt Lake. There's a whole group of us on here that support this letter. So you got Elizabeth McVickers, Dennis Shaw, Russ Butler, who's a pastor at Christ, Rob Brundle, who's at Trinity there in West Valley. You got Gary Haddock, who we know from community out of Ogden. Kimmel James, from Ogden First UMC. Reverend Olga Hard, you folks know her. She's my mentor. She's my former pastor at Mountain Vista. And then some guy named Dave Sauer. So I'm on here. And then Reverend Mar Vos, who's our district superintendent. So really what it is, it's a rebuttal. It's a rebuttal to some of the craziness our church is doing right now. So what this has done is put us possibly into our own temporary desert. Because we don't know how the rest of the world's going to react to what we wrote here. But the point is that we have it in there to make a stand. And that's part of being in the desert, is making that stand, saying, enough. Here's what I need to do. Here's what we need to do. That sort of thing. So I know that you guys are most wanting to cut this out and post it and all that sort of thing, but there it is. But read it, ruminate over it, think about it, digest it, that sort of thing. Because odds are your coworkers, if they know that you go here to Aldersgate, and if they've read the article, they may say, hey, what's this all about? What we're trying to say is inclusion, not exclusion. Some churches, depending on your sin, as they look at it, they kick you out. That's not what this church is all about. There's no excommunication here. What we want here is love, compassion, peace, being welcoming. It does not matter who you are, what you are, that sort of thing. Does everybody get that? Because that's my stand. Now, a little bit about Dave. I've had to go through quite a transformation in my own thought process when I started going to ILF. I expected ILF to be a very strict seminary. This is the way it is. There is no changing. More of a Ashbury, Fuller, Perkins seminaries. They're very, very strict. Very, very conservative. I get to ILF. Now, I'm a military guy. We do things this way. We assault the enemy this way. You follow these regs and rules, and you don't go to jail. Things like that. I get to ILF. My world is completely turned upside down. My cohort of 29 people, we've got 7 to 8 lesbians. We've got 2 pagans. We've got one that is, what's the term, intersex, right? The androgynous terms. We talked about that on Wednesday night. So we've got all these different things going on. My poor mind is being blown. That put me into the desert. Because now I'm having to decide, is this the right place for me or not? Well, as it turns out, it was. And I'm glad I made that decision. Besides, it's only an hour's flight. You know, Denver's close. It's an easy drive if I want to do that too. But the thing is that ILF opened my eyes that there's more to this world than having a conservative view that's about a quarter inch big here. All right? There's a big world out there. We have to be welcoming to everybody. God loves us. He took us the way we are. He took us the way we are. Let's in kind do the same thing. So we might be back in that desert a little bit as a congregation. But what gets us through it? What gives it through us? Sarah, why don't you give me that mic? I know, unless you want to give me an answer. She goes, no, no. Okay, so let's make this individual for a minute. What helps us as a congregation to come out of the desert and people know that we are warm, loving, and welcoming? Who wants to give me an idea? Jill.
I guess what makes us is that we support everyone and that we welcome everyone in our church and that we role model Jesus every day.
Yeah.
It's not complicated. It's just being who you are, being a good person.
It's hard sometimes to put on Jesus, though, and let it out. Because our flesh gets in the way. And our flesh is judgmental. It's critical. It's, I'm better than you. I look better. I'm Arnold. All those kind of things, right? Okay, here, once let me give it to Jenny.
I remember.
Here, Jenny.
I look at what Jesus did
with the people that he met with, and you can read account after story. In each of the Gospels, you can read about this, that he talked with everyone. He sat down and ate, which in those days was a huge step. He ate with everyone, the people who were viewed by others as being undesirable. And he was chastised for that. So I look at what Jesus did, and I want to do that too as much as I can. I mean, you know, we live with certain parameters in our society, but still, we have so much freedom. We have so much freedom, not only just here in Utah, but throughout the world. So I think that, for me, that is something that I always have at the back of my mind. Who did Jesus talk to? Who did he associate with? And who did he welcome at the greater table that he was offering, the table of grace?
Thanks, Johnny. Yep. Jesus hung out with tax collectors. There was Matthew. There was Zacchaeus. There were prostitutes. There were all kinds of people that Pharisees and the Sadducees would not hang out with. So we as a church, be prepared, because this is something that I have been looking for, is our church is loving, it's compassionate. Jenny and I had a little chat. When Raquel and I came up here, we didn't know what to expect. And I've shared this with you. You didn't either. That's right. You've got a Tigger from Winnie the Pooh as your pastor. You know? Yeah, which part of that don't you get, Rod? But when we came up here, we fell in love with this church. We really did. We fell in love with the congregation. We love it up here. Brigham City is a very quirky little town. It's almost like Twin Peaks. It's quirky. But we love it here. It's great. And every one of you, as we have gotten to know you, we love you to death. Not literally, but we love you. We enjoy our association with you. We enjoy being part of this congregation. So thank you very much. Now, a few years ago, I had to come up here, and I've been all weirded out and everything. But after going through ILF as my boot camp, things are much different for me. I am much, much more of a welcoming person, a compassionate person. It wasn't always. But things have changed, and you guys have rubbed off on me. To your happiness and immense joy, you've rubbed off on us. So thank you. But we're going to be in the desert perhaps for a little bit as a church because of what was on the editorial page. But here's what I say. Stand strong. Stand strong. Because we don't know what the fallout from this is going to be. Now, our bishop, Karen Oliveto, got a copy of the article this morning from Elizabeth McVickers. She immediately wrote back. I've already looked at the email she sent back. She said that the article put her in tears. Put her in tears. And she loves the support. She says, we are part of making that change in the Methodist Church. So we're going to stand firm. Now, does this mean we're hated? No. But some people might look at us and go, you're a little nuts. But we are loving and welcoming of everybody. Green, blue, purple, pink, somebody from Jupiter and Saturn, we don't care where they come from. We really don't care. We want everybody here. We want them to feel the love. And we're all about spreading the news of Jesus, right? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Anybody else want to say anything? I've got the baton here. Yeah, read the article. It does it much better justice than me trying to share it with you. I'm just saying I'm preparing you for when folks come to talk to you and say, what's the deal with the article? I see Aldersgate on there. Who's Dave Sauer? Or they might say Sayer, Sewer, Sawyer, because they can't pronounce it. So, you guys stand firm. All right? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's have offering.